not the Catholic Answers music. That is some funky game show music. Must be time for the Catholic Answers game show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. Please feel free to play along at home, provided you are equipped with the proper equipment for everyone to be safe and sound while you play. Gather around the, what do you have now? A fire. Yeah, gather around the Christmas fire, the Yule fire.
It's not even Advent, dude.
Oh, okay. What do people do right now? What are they? Think of just a regular old fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ordinary time fire.
We have two contestants on the game show, and we have a special celebrity guest each time. And we welcome again the senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, Jimmy Akin. Jimmy, thanks for doing this with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
You know, you're the lifeline.
Okay.
In this show.
I will endeavor to float.
And among your many languages, how skilled are you at Pig Latin?
K-A. K-O-A.
Okay, there we go. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying now. Okay, you're K-O-A. All right, very good. And now I believe it is time to meet our contestants. Then we will do the rules for the game show and try not to have too much fun. Our first contestant who we will call contestant number one is Jenny. Jenny, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks for being with us, Jenny. Where are you and what's interesting about you?
I'm from the Chicagoland area, and something that's interesting about me is I grew up in the Eastern Catholic Church in the Syro Malabar Rite.
Oh, I see. Now, are there Syro Malabar parishes near in you call it the Chicagoland area? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like Chicago suburbs.
That's what they call it in Chicagoland.
I was gathering that, but it was unfamiliar to me up to this point. You celebrate in the Latin Rite now, or do you go to a Syro Malabar church?
I go to both. I go to both, yeah.
That is very interesting about you. All right. let us meet contestant number two then. Samantha, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
And where are you and what's interesting about you, Samantha?
I'm in Spring, Texas. It's a little bit north of Houston. I'm a wife and a mommy. And what's interesting about me is that my husband and I, we live out in the suburbs. We have a little tiny backyard, but we grow most of our own food and we grow all of our herbs back there.
That is really impressive. Do you have like some kind of tiered farming going on out there, or how do you do that?
He has raised beds, and we do have one tiered bed, but it's just raised beds on the whole. Most of the backyard is just little pathways through the beds. And we have some fruit trees, and then he made me this little fenced area with a little mini garden for the herbs, and it is tiered in there. It's really nice.
Wow, you guys are all set. That's very cool. That's an art and a science not as commonly practiced as it once was. All right, so.
No, but it's fun.
Jenny and Samantha, I'm going to go through the rules now of the Catholic Answers game show.
Good, because I need to know them.
Because our special celebrity guest has no clue how we play this game. Well, you have some clue.
I've done it once before.
Yeah. All right, so we have one apologist, and that is Jimmy Akin. We have two calling contestants. That's you, Jenny, and Samantha, and one host. That'll be me for the time being, as long as I remain in the employ of Catholic Answers throughout the entire hour. We have two initial rounds that are both played the same way. In both of these rounds, round one and two, you play against each other. In round one, you'll each get three multiple choice questions. In round two, you'll each get three multiple choice questions, and you can ask on any of those six questions. You can ask Jimmy for help, but once you use one of these helps or lifelines, as we might call them,
I will endeavor to float.
They're gone, and so if you use them in round one, you can't use them in round two. But we really want you to use them up. So I will, if you get to round two and you haven't used them yet, I will really encourage you. You can do the following things. You can ask Jimmy to eliminate one wrong answer. B, you can ask Jimmy to just give you the correct answer, but it has to be in Pig Latin. Are you comfortable that you're clear on the lifelines?
Yes.
Okay. If after two rounds there's a tie, contestant number one is Jenny, and I'll ask Jenny to pick A or B, and then we'll do whatever is in box A or B, and that will tell us who's going on to the third round. The third round is completely unmenacingly referred to as The final judgment. The final judgment. So I hope you're prepared for the final judgment. In the final judgment, you'll get one of you will be sent home with a couple of delightful prizes, and the other will continue playing, and there'll be seven true or false questions in that round. The grand prize at the end of all of this.
Have her works tested by fire?
Yes, we will have our.
Okay.
But I hope you're not giving away one of them.
Well, it sounds, you know, like to...
Final judgment?
You either get to go home early with a couple of delightful things, or you get your works tested by fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one other rule I will tell you about. If there's any technical problems and we lose contact with you, we will select someone in the studio to play for you. And it'll probably be Nick, and you will probably lose. But we don't know that for sure. No, Nick, that's not true. Let us commence then. If everyone is ready, let us go to plan the game. But I
I thought it had already been planned.
It has been well planned. Jenny, you're first. You're contestant one. Are you ready for your first question?
Yes, I am.
All right. Jenny, what is an annulment? Excuse me. A declaration that a marriage has been dissolved. B, a declaration that a marriage did not exist. C, a declaration that a sacramental marriage exists, but a civil marriage does not.
Can you repeat the first two answers?
I certainly can. So the question is, what is an annulment? A, a declaration that a marriage has been dissolved. B, a declaration that a marriage did not exist. Do you want C too?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, C is a declaration that a sacramental marriage exists, but a civil marriage does not.
Is it A?
Oh, I'm afraid not. A dissolution of the bond is a different thing. What an annulment does is the correct answer is B. It is a declaration that a marriage did not exist, objectively speaking, at the time it was contracted.
And that makes it null.
No, yeah.
Okay, and that's why we call it an annulment. All right, contestant number two is Samantha. Samantha, you ready for your first question?
Yes.
Samantha, what is papal infallibility? A, the Holy Spirit's guarantee that the Pope will not preach error. B, the Holy Spirit's guarantee that the Pope will not make serious mistakes in leading the church. C, the preservation of the Pope from error when he defines a doctrine concerning faith or morals to be held by the whole church.
Okay, I'm ready.
C is correct. Papal infallibility refers to the preservation of the Pope by the Holy Spirit from error when he defines a doctrine concerning faith or morals to be held by the whole church. And that's something you could read more about in my new book, Teaching with Authority, which we just got the main shipment in. And so it's starting to ship from here from Catholic Answers now.
And this will be among the gifts and prizes available to each of you, Jimmy's brand new book, Teaching with Authority. So you might notice a couple questions on authority because
– You took them out of there?
No, I just wanted to have a few opportunities to talk about the book.
Oh, okay.
Contestant number one, Jenny, your second question from round one. Jenny, what is an angel? A, an uncreated spirit of pure goodness. B, a purely spiritual creature. C, a divine person with its own intellect and will.
Is it B?
B.
The B is correct. Yes. I thought you might have said E for a second there, and I was going, wait, we didn't get as far as E. Okay. Yes. No. B is correct. An angel is a purely spiritual creature.
And
it's different than the other two answers. So
yeah.
In A, it was – the A answer was an uncreated spirit of pure goodness. No, that would be God.
Okay.
C, a divine person with its own intellect and will. That's again problematic because angels are not divine. They do have their own intellects and wills, but they're not divine persons like the three persons of the Trinity.
Is that kind of what, did you kind of know that? Is that what knocked you off those two? Jenny?
No. I think I've heard that before through like listening through Catholic Answers, just like the definition of what an angel is. I knew it wasn't C because that didn't sound right. And then I was between A and B.
So you're saying that listening to Catholic Answers Live is useful. I am
new.
kind of, yeah.
All right. Before we have to go to a break, let's get contestant number two, Samantha, your second question. Samantha, what is a deacon? A, a layman with authority to preach and to officiate at some sacraments. B, an ordained member of the clergy. C, a combination of laity and clergy.
B?
B is correct. A deacon is an ordained member of the clergy, not simply a layman authorized to preach or officiate at some sacraments. That can happen in other circumstances. Lay people cannot be authorized to preach the homily. But they can be authorized to preach in some circumstances, and they can officiate at some sacraments in emergencies, for example. They can perform emergency baptism. So it's not A. There's also no such thing as C, a person who's a combination of clergy and laity. So that doesn't exist, and that leaves us with the correct answer, an ordained member of the clergy.
A combination of laity and clergy, if that did happen, though, that's got to
be like a hybrid.
That's got to be like a member of the Avengers or something. There's got to be superpowers come with that.
Yeah, I was thinking, it could be a supervillain, you know, like Tharok from the Legion of Superheroes that's like split halfway down the middle for these members of Fatal Five. Two-Face, yeah, maybe one half of Two-Face
is a
deacon and the other is a layman.
Jenny and Samantha, I hope you enjoy conversations about comic book characters because there's probably going to be a lot of that. We have to take a break. Neither of you has used a lifeline, so I will remind you about your lifelines when we come back. Don't forget that right now we are having our I was going to say our Christmas sale, but one of the sales that we will have leading up to Christmas from now until Sunday at midnight. If you use the promo code CALIVE18, you'll save 35% on hundreds of items in our online shop. This weekend is a great time to take care of Christmas shopping and save that 35%. Plus, we've got $5 flat rate shipping within the continental U.S. Just go to shop.catholic.com and use the promo code CALIVE18.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
I'm Jeanette DiMello, editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Yeah. Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. Our helper, our lifeline today is a senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, Jimmy Akin. Jimmy, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
We're on question number three of round one. Contestant number one is Jenny. And Jenny, your third question of round one is, which of the following is not a dogma of the Catholic Church? And I just want you to know before I give you the answers, I put this question in here so that we could talk about Jimmy's book, Teaching with Authority, which is out
at
shop.catholic.com. There's a few more of these. So which of the following is not a dogma of the Catholic Church? A, Mary is the mother of God. B, unbaptized babies who die will be granted perfect natural happiness, but not the beatific vision. Or C, the church Christ founded is holy. So just to give it to you again, which of the following is not a dogma of the Catholic Church? Mary is the mother of God. Unbaptized babies will have perfect natural happiness, but not the beatific vision after they die. And C, the church Christ founded is holy.
I think it's B.
B is correct, yeah. It is a dogma, and we should say what a dogma is because this is one of the classic questions. What is the difference between a doctrine and a dogma? A doctrine is anything that the church authoritatively teaches. Within the authoritative teachings or doctrines of the church, there is a subset of doctrines which are infallible. And within those that are infallible, there is a subset which the church has proclaimed infallibly to be divinely revealed. So it's not something the church knows through some other means. It's because God directly revealed this and the church has infallibly said that he did. And that is indeed the case for Mary being the mother of God. That's something that's divinely revealed and the church has infallibly said that he has revealed it. Same thing with church being holy. That's also a matter of divine revelation, and the church is infallibly defined that the church is holy, not meaning every individual member is holy all the time, obviously, or we wouldn't have the sacrament of confession.
Yes, right.
But that leaves us with unbaptized babies will be granted perfect natural happiness but not the beatific vision if they die, and that's a theological speculation. Sometimes called limbo. It's a version of limbo, actually, but it's not a matter of church teaching, and it's certainly not a matter of dogma. God hasn't really revealed to us exactly what happens to children who die without baptism, although we can entrust them to his mercy because he has revealed that he is love and that he is a God of mercy.
Jenny, you made it through your first round without using any of your lifelines. You have both of your lifelines ready for the next round, round two. Samantha, your final question of round one, which of the following is not said by Jesus in the Bible? A, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? B, be imitators of me. C, I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And I'll go over them real quick again. Which of the following is not said by Jesus in the Bible? A, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? B, be imitators of me. Or C, I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners.
I would like to use a lifeline.
Okay. Which lifeline would you like to use?
I want Jimmy to please eliminate the wrong answer.
All right. Eliminate one of the wrong answers.
Okay. I will eliminate for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his own life. That leaves us with that was the A answer. And so that leaves us with the B answer, be imitators of me, or the C answer, I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. One of those was said by Jesus and the other was not. We're looking for the one that was not said by Jesus.
B
is correct. B. Yeah. It was St. Paul who said, be imitators of me. And I was interested to see how Cy abbreviated the quotation here. That's from from 1 Corinthians 11:1, and the completion of the quote after Paul says, be imitators of me, he says, as I am of Christ. So
yeah,
that would kind of be a giveaway, yeah, that it wasn't Jesus who said that.
All right, summing up after, and assistant producer Marie will tell me if I get this wrong, but summing up after round one, contestant one, Jenny, you have 2 out of 3 correct thus far, and you have all of your lifelines available. Contestant number two, Samantha, you have 3 out of 3 correct so far, and you have only one of your lifelines available, and that lifeline is, Jimmy will give you the correct answer in Pig Latin. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right to everybody? All right, moving on to round two. We start again with contestant number one, that is Jenny. Jenny, the season of Advent begins on Sunday. That's just a fact. That's not a question. Okay, so Advent
evening prayer one of the first Sunday of Advent, which is on Saturday night.
You know, you just told me that yesterday, yeah. And already I'm blowing it.
You remembered it once I reminded you.
Yeah, all right. So here's a question about Advent. Advent is A, very ancient, with origins so old they are not clearly remembered. B, an observance created in medieval monasteries and spread to the entire church. C, a mostly modern creation that grew up around modern celebrations of Christmas on December 25th. You're welcome to have those read to you again.
Yeah, why don't you read those again?
Yeah, can I have those read to me again?
Okay. Advent is A, very ancient, with origins so old they are not clearly remembered. B, an observance created in medieval monasteries and spread to the entire church, Or C, a mostly modern creation that grew up around modern celebrations of Christmas on December 25th. And I remind you, you have two lifelines.
Okay, can I use a lifeline?
Sure, which lifeline would you like to use?
To eliminate one of the answers.
All right. Okay. Advent is not a mostly modern creation that grew up around modern celebrations of Christmas on December 25th. So that means it's either A, very ancient, with origins so old they're not clearly understood, or B, it's an observance created in medieval monasteries and spread to the entire church.
Okay, I'm going to go with
With B, I'm afraid no, it wasn't created in medieval monasteries. It does go back farther than that, and it goes back far enough that its origins aren't fully clear, like a lot of very ancient liturgical traditions.
The 330s, one of the popes said Christmas would be celebrated on December 25th, and not long after that, we do have references to the celebration of Advent, so we don't know. I mean, these are the official
decorations, how
so
they.
You don't know where they came from before that.
Yeah.
Okay, Jenny, thank you. Samantha, your first question of round two. Guess what? Advent begins on Saturday evening coming up. and the season of Advent is marked by A, the praying of the O antiphons, B, the dropping of the word Alleluia from liturgy until Christmas, or C, the blessing of the holy oils for use throughout the year. That is, the season of Advent is marked by A, the praying of the O antiphons, the dropping of the word Alleluia from liturgy until Christmas, or C, the blessing of the holy oils for use throughout the year.
I believe the answer is A.
A, the praying of the O antiphons is correct. The Alleluia is dropped from the liturgy in Lent leading up to Easter, and also the oils being blessed for throughout the year. That occurs in Triduum right before Easter. But what's characteristic of the season of Advent is the O antiphons. And here's something really cool. Si, you know what the Greek word for O is?
I have not a clue.
O.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just the letter omega, so you pronounce it O.
Oh.
And
oh,
it means
cool.
It means the same thing in Greek that it does in English. It's a way of expressing amazement or awe as you call attention to something, particularly in direct address, like, Osiris, you need to do this or whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, Osiris is an Egyptian god.
That got confusing with that one.
Yeah.
But, you can find the O antiphons just by looking online. If anybody wants to look up the O antiphons, the idea is that they all begin with O.
The interjection O.
Yeah.
And if you've seen Schoolhouse Rock, you know what an interjection is.
Like, O Wisdom or O Lord of O Root of Jesse on the various nights of Advent, those things are prayed, especially if you do evening prayer where you are. So we are on question number two for contestant number one, Jenny. Jenny, an excommunicated. Not excommunicated. Excommunicated. An excommunicated Catholic, A, may not attend Sunday Mass. B, is obligated to attend Sunday Mass. C, must attend Sunday Mass, but remain in the narthex. Would you like to hear it again?
Yeah, do them all twice.
One more time.
Okay. An excommunicated Catholic. See, this probably never happened to you, Jenny. So, you know, an excommunicated Catholic, A, may not attend Sunday Mass. B, is obligated to attend Sunday Mass. Or C, must attend Sunday Mass, but remain in the narthex. And the narthex, for anybody who doesn't know, is that like the front part of the church. Not all churches have them, but it's the part before you. It's often called the vestibule. I think a lot of times it's called the vestibule. It's the front part. You walk in, and then after that, you walk into the sanctuary of the church. Or the okay. All right. So, Jenny.
Yeah. Can I use Pig Latin?
Jimmy will now give you the correct answer in Pig Latin to the question, an excommunicated Catholic, what, Jimmy?
Ise obligated oe ute atin a unde se asme.
I didn't know it was going to turn out like that, but are you able to figure out which one that is? Is that A, may not attend Mass, B, is obligated to attend Mass, or C, must attend Mass, but remain in the
I didn't hear any Arthex nay in there, so that's probably a clue.
Yes.
B, is obligated to attend Sunday Mass. Yeah. That's an ordinary Catholic who has achieved the age that they're obliged to attend Mass is not relieved of that obligation if they're excommunicated. However, they're not able to receive communion. And if it's a declared excommunication, they are not allowed to have any ministerial participation in the Mass, but they're still obliged to be there.
So you got that one right, Jenny. We'll finish round two when we come back right after this Catholic Answers game show on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Christmas is coming, and with Advent already upon us, we want to make sure you know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. With great new resources by Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Christopher Check, and other great Catholic teachers, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to the game show, the Catholic Answers game show, which we do for fun on Fridays every once in a while. Our guest today, Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. His brand new book, Teaching with Authority, is among the many things on sale at shop.catholic.com. You can get $5 shipping anywhere in the continental U.S. Teaching with Authority, How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says. Our contestants are Jenny from Chicagoland and Samantha from Texasland. And Samantha, you are up. Are you ready for your second question, yes, of round two?
I am.
In Catholic terminology, what is presumption? A, the belief that God loves me and will forgive my sins. B, the minimization of the requirements that I repent, rely on Christ, and follow God's commands in order to be saved. Or C, the belief that I am too sinful to be saved. That was a lot, so I'm going to just do it again slowly. In Catholic terminology, what is presumption? A, the belief that God loves me and will forgive my sins. B, the minimization of the requirements that I repent, rely on Christ, and follow God's commands in order to be saved. Or C, the belief that I am too sinful to be saved.
Samantha B.
B is correct. Presumption does involve minimizing or even outright ignoring the requirements of repentance and so forth to be saved and just assuming, oh, I'm just going to be saved anyway. That's presumption. Presumption is not the belief that God loves us and will forgive our sins. That's not presumptive at all because he tells us that.
Yeah. That's called Christianity.
Yeah. And belief that I'm too sinful to be saved is not presumption. It's the opposite of presumption. It's despair. And we're not supposed to have either presumption or despair.
Nice job. You didn't even, you had no hesitation on that. Just boom, B. You knew that one, huh?
I've learned a lot from you guys.
I love that with these. All right. This is like an advertisement for Catholic Answers Live on Catholic Answers Live. All right. So your final
question. Very meta.
Yeah. Your final question, Jenny, contestant one, your final question of round two. Who describes the, quote, fire that, quote, will test the quality of each one's work? Is it A, the Apostle Peter, B, the Apostle Paul, or C, the Apostle John? Let me try that again.
Okay.
Just for those
so
playing along
at home.
It's
not Jesus is what you're saying.
It's definitely not Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus is not
Because we had him in another question.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And when we gather in his name, he's always there with us.
Yeah.
Just throwing that in there. Who describes the, quote, fire that, quote, will test the quality of each one's work? Was it the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John?
It's the Apostle Paul.
The Apostle Paul is correct. That's something he discusses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he says that we're all going to be judged based on the work we've done in this life. If we've built with he's using a metaphor of like building a building, and he talks about building with substances like wood, hay, or straw, meaning inferior quality work that's flammable, versus gold and precious stones and things like that, which are not flammable. And he says, comparing God's judgment to a fire, he says that the fire will test the quality of everybody's work. And if what we've worked to build is burned up, then we'll still be saved. But so we know this applies even to the saved. But if it doesn't get burned up, then we'll receive a reward.
We have reached the end then, I believe. No, we have one more question. One more, dude. I always know I'm in trouble when you call me dude. But now I got to find. Oh, here we go. All right. So question number three of round two. You're very helpful to me today.
I always want to be.
In whose letter, and this is for you, Samantha, of course, this is your final question of round two. In whose letter do we find the sentence, God is love? A, the Apostle Peter. B, the Apostle Paul. C, the Apostle John. That is, in whose letter do we find this sentence? God is love. Is it the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John?
So you're saying it's not Jesus's letter.
Jesus, I don't know, even wrote any letters.
Well, there's the according to Eusebius of Caesarea, he wrote a letter to King Abgar, but actually he preserves the text of the letter, but this is widely regarded as apocryphal.
Is apocryphal at all like baloney or is
yeah.
It, yeah. Oh, it's like baloney. Okay. All right.
I love apocrypha and mustard sandwiches.
Oh man. Especially you get a little Swiss cheese on that. Oh,
yeah.
Samantha, A, B, or C?
Yes. I want to use the lifeline.
Okay. Which lifeline do you have left?
The
Pig Latin one.
Pig Latin.
Okay. Should be good.
Okay. The correct answer for who said God is love is Apostle A, Anje.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. The answer is the Apostle John.
Yeah.
You are correct. It is the Apostle John, and congratulations.
Says that in 1 John.
In 1 John. You're right. It's I think a lot of people think that's in the Gospels somewhere, and certainly the Gospels share that message all throughout.
Love is a prominent theme of the New Testament, but including in John's writing, so you have like the verse in John 3:15, God so loved the world.
Right.
And
that
may be part of what people are thinking there.
Indeed. Okay, so Jenny and Samantha, we are using the supercomputer right now to tally the scores, and the supercomputer tells me that Samantha has a perfect score. Is that correct? Six out of six, and Jenny, 4 out of 6. So
still quite good.
Very good on both counts. So Jenny, we will say thank you for playing and send you off with a couple of prizes.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
You want to know what the prizes are?
I want to know what the prizes are, and I'm not even getting them.
Okay, you are not getting. You're giving one of them, actually. You had to write it. Teaching with Authority, Jimmy's book, How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says. That will be coming to you shortly. And also, we have a free membership, but I don't know if we asked you if you were married or not, so... We have a free membership in CatholicChemistry.com, a dating and matching site. So you can either have it or give it to someone else.
We should check out this Are They Married before we give them
site. We actually thought about this. We thought, well, they could give it to somebody else. Like they could share with somebody else. Like maybe she's got a sister who's Catholic. And okay. So, you know.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Teaching with Authority and CatholicChemistry.com. And Jenny, thanks again. We had a great time with you.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun, too.
Very, very good. Okay. And now we go to the final judgment. Samantha, are you ready for final judgment?
Yes. I am. I'm nervous.
Oh.
You know, I feel the same way about final judgment.
You'll still be saved, but the quality of your answers will be tested by fire.
Okay.
All right.
But they're all true or false, so you got a 50-50 chance.
There are no lifelines in the final judgment, much like the actual final judgment. Yeah, you are what you are at
Jesus
this point.
Jesus is our lifeline at the final
Amen,
judgment.
Brother. I said that wrong. You are right, Jimmy. There are seven questions. For each question, before I ask you the question, I will tell you the prize you are playing for. If you are as magnificent as you've been thus far and you get all seven correct, you will also get a $50 credit at shop.catholic.com. So you ready to do that?
Yes.
All right. I got to get my list of books from assistant producer Marie. Okay. So question number one, you are playing for Jimmy's book, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. If you get the question right, you get the book. If you don't, you don't. And question number one is as follows. Oh, by the way, they're all true or false questions. I don't know if I said that.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. I'm being helpful to you today.
You are very helpful to me today, Jimmy. True or false, Samantha? In the United States, since the 1960s, Catholics are no longer required to do a penance, such as abstaining from meat, on Fridays. Is that true or is that false?
False.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, this one's actually true. In the United States, the U.S. bishops, in the wake of Pope Paul VI's document, Penitimini, released a pastoral letter in which they modified the discipline of penance in the United States, and they terminated the requirement to abstain from meat on Fridays outside of Lent. However, they did not institute a new requirement or say you have to do anything or like pick your penance. Or they didn't say anything like that. It's still – Fridays are still days of penance, meaning they're characterized by penance, but there's no obligation legally in the United States to do a particular penance,
okay,
whether it's of your own choice or somebody else's.
I'm feeling squeamish about this one. I'm feeling like I didn't word it very well.
Well,
because you said such as, and so then I thought, but I don't know.
The legal mind is equal to the occasion, to quote Gilbert and Sullivan.
Okay.
And because the statement doesn't mention Lent, it is, you can argue it is false because in Lent we are required to do abstinence from meat on Fridays.
Please do not accuse us of being Jesuitical, Samantha, but we're going to give you that one. You're
okay.
Going to.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
So you get Jimmy's book, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One. And we move on now to question number two.
Now we hit
two.
The microphone.
Is that. Now you are playing for Carlo Broussard's magnificent book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church on this question. Samantha, true or false? Catholics believe that the earth and all that is in it are gifts from God to the whole of mankind. The right of private
Do you want to wait a little more?
There's more to it. The right
but
it's not going to change it. The right of private property is secondary to this reality. So true or false?
True.
That is correct. Well, it could have changed it if you'd gone on to say, like, and therefore there is no right to private property.
But I said that because I would have felt sick had I said that, and she changed her answer. So that was just for me to keep me from feeling queasy. So the whole world is a gift to the whole of humankind?
Oh, yeah. You knew that, right?
I did know that.
But
I always struggle.
Because it's, we can't all have it all at the same time. We have to have an equitable way of divvying it up, and both in terms of our responsibility towards caring for it and in terms of our ability to make use of it. And so consequently, that leads to the institution of private property as a by and large successful way of but not an absolute way of managing the resource that God has given us in the earth.
Samantha, God is good. Would you agree?
Agree. That one's true, but that's not one of the questions.
You're not getting a book for that. Oh. I just wanted you to be give witness.
Okay.
Question number three is also true or false, as they all are, and you're playing for Behold Your Mother, overcoming Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines. I crossed up two books there. That is Tim Staples, very, very fine book. We'd love to send it to you. If you get the following question correct, we will. True or false, Samantha, Catholics do not accept baptisms performed by non-Catholics. Wait a second. Oh, I forgot. It's time for a break. We'll have to get your answer right. Oh, no. Let's go ahead and get your answer. I was going to do a cliffhanger, but let's go ahead and get your answer. True or false?
I think it's true. True.
Catholics do not accept baptisms.
Oh, no, we do accept it.
Okay.
We do accept
baptisms.
So that's false.
Yeah. It is false.
Yeah,
as long as they're using the correct form, matter, and intention, it is acceptable. Yeah.
Sorry. I crossed y'all up on that one. Okay.
I just get so excited about the books. That's why. It's my fault.
No. Cool.
You get excited, but I get excited, and I do things like, "Oh, we're going to take a break now," which is completely unfair. But we are actually going to take a break now, so let us both rest our brains for a moment. I do want to invite people to come with us on our Catholic Answers Cruise, February 10th through 17th. There are still cabins available. We have to give them back. I don't know if it's this month or I forgot now what Erica said, but soon we have to give them. No, it's December. We have to give the cabins back that are not used. Sail with Catholic Answers. Tim Staples will be there. Carlo Broussard will be there. Chris Check, our president, will be there. Father Chrysostom Baer will serve as chaplain, and he will celebrate Mass with us each day, hear confessions, give spiritual talks. I will be there to carry the bags and do odd jobs. You just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com to sign up. We're going to cruise around the Caribbean, starting in Fort Lauderdale, going around to the Bahamas, Jamaica, Grand Cayman Island, Mexico, and then back to Fort Lauderdale. If you behave in Mexico, we'll take you back to Fort Lauderdale with us. Go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
That retreat absolutely lit me on fire.
Your talks and the spiritual counseling, I just want to learn so much about it. And as a parent of three boys, what can I research to continue that fire to impart that on my boys?
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Quiz Show, which we have cleverly titled the Catholic Answers Quiz Show. We are in the final judgment right now with Samantha, who made it through round one and round two. And
I think we should title the whole show Final Judgment, because it's common to name game shows after their final segment.
I am
it's
in
like,
agreement
who
with
wants
you
to
that.
Be a millionaire? Is your The millionaire part is the final stage. It's not the first question.
And Final Judgment is a good name.
$25,000 pyramid, that's the final pyramid, not the first one.
I wish we were decision makers, Jimmy. Yeah. I wish we were. I'm looking at you, Nick. Okay. Question number four of your seven of round two. Samantha, is the following. True or false, Samantha? And this is a long and detailed one, so I'll definitely read it twice and ask you to just attend carefully for a moment here. True or false, Catholic just war tradition forbids direct attacks on non-combatants, except in cases where such attacks have a reasonable chance of ending a war quickly and of saving more lives than are killed in the attack. All right. I know it's long and complex, so I'm going to give it to you again. Mm-hmm. True or false? Catholic just war tradition forbids direct attacks on non-combatants, except in cases where such attacks have a reasonable chance of ending a war quickly and of saving more lives than are killed by the attack. True or false?
I think it's false.
It is false.
God
yeah.
bless you. I'm so glad to hear you say it's false.
You can't kill non-combatants even if you think it's going to shorten the war or save lives on balance. You can never directly, deliberately kill innocent people.
So really the only word you needed there was the word except, because there is no exception. Catholic just war tradition forbids direct attacks on non-combatants. And I am just so pleased that you got that one. I was hoping
Which is not to say that the deaths of non-combatants cannot be tolerated as collateral damage.
Right,
that's a different thing than deliberately killing them.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Samantha, you are just rocking it right now. And now I'm really rooting for you on the next three questions. Question number five. True or false? Catholics believe that because of Adam's sin, humanity lost the ability to choose or to do any good. I'm going to give that to you again. True or false? Catholics believe that because of Adam's sin, humanity lost the ability to choose or to do any good.
I believe that's false.
It is indeed false. There are some folks in the Protestant community who have a kind of radical understanding of human depravity. Even people who are Protestant who say, well, I believe in total depravity, even most of them don't go this far.
Right.
But there are some who would say, because of the fall, we have no ability to choose even a natural good. And everything we do is sinful, even in the maximum, apart from God's regeneration. And so it's not what all Protestants think. Certainly it's not. But it is found there. But it is definitely not what the Catholic Church teaches. We do have the ability to choose natural goods even before God brings us into a state of justification. Although we don't choose we don't have the ability to supernaturally love God prior to justification, we can nevertheless choose good things, including morally good things.
So even because we often hear of the tulip and the first one being total depravity. So even
the tulip is an acronym for the 5 points of Calvinism.
So even a real solid Calvinist, that total depravity doesn't necessarily mean evil.
In fact, lots of Calvinists will say they don't like that the way that point is phrased, because it can be misleading.
Yeah.
Some have proposed alternatives like radical corruption or something total inability.
Yeah.
But total depravity, a lot of Calvinists say that's an unfortunate way of phrasing it.
But
because it sounds like maximally evil.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like even worse than Dr. Evil. I always appreciate your answers on those, because I know that you are very careful to be fair to our interlocutors on that, to be fair to the Calvinists. We don't want to exaggerate their position. I forgot to tell you what books you won on the last two.
I was going to ask about that.
You won on question number four. You won Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. And on question number five, you won Why We're Catholic from Trent Horn. Both of those are from Trent Horn. The first one also with Layla Miller. You are rocking it. Here's question number six. Do you feel ready?
Yes, sort of. I'm nervous.
I'm nervous, too.
What's the book for this one?
Okay, so the book for this one is All in the Name. Marie, help me out. All in the Name. I'm going to find out, because this must be a new one.
It is a new one.
All in the Name.
And I believe it's a conversion story from...
Mark McNeil.
Yeah, from a guy who used to be Oneness Pentecostal, and so they would like baptize only in the name of Jesus. And then he's become Catholic, and so he talks about that and his journey.
This is horrifying to me, because Carrie just put this book on my desk so that I would have it. So I apologize to Mark.
Carrie was being helpful to you today, too.
Everyone's being helpful to me, and I am, but I need a lot of help, you can see. All right.
So now we got a question.
You're playing for All in the Name. This is question number six. True or false, Samantha? The existence of angels is clearly established by both scripture and tradition. That's true or false? The existence of angels is clearly established by both scripture and tradition.
True.
Yeah.
You are fearless. I love it. Anything you want to say about that one, Jimmy?
Just no, true? I think that one's pretty obvious.
That's just, yeah. Since the angel Gabriel makes his appearance right at the beginning of the gospel.
Well, that's scripture, but then you've got to deal with the tradition
part
of it.
That's right.
But
if
you look at the church fathers, they're all on top of this angel thing.
Okay, so you now have a chance not only to win Gary Machuda's book, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, which you will get if you get this question correct. But if you get this question correct, you will also be the first person in the history of the Catholic Answers Quiz Show to get every question correct and to get the additional bonus, which is $50 credit at shop.catholic.com.
Must be all those herbs.
It probably is. Yeah, I bet it's the oregano that you grow out back. What's your most obscure herb? What do you got back there that I might not?
Marjoram.
Oh, yeah.
I used to work with her.
I used to know a girl named Marjoram. Okay. True or false? This is for like all the marbles. I'm so nervous. All the dogmas of the church are true and have been revealed by God. True or false? All the dogmas of the church are true and have been revealed by God.
True.
Yeah.
Do we have some kind of celebration
earlier?
That was amazing.
And we covered that earlier in the show. So we talked about what dogmas are.
And that would be a really good question. If you had that question, a good book to get that would be a book that you have already won, Teaching with Authority.
Teaching with Authority.
Yeah, how to cut through doctrinal confusion and understand what the church really says.
But you're already getting that. So for this question, you're getting Gary Machuda's Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger.
Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. So you win all those books and the $50. I don't know if we have anything else at the shop. What's she going to spend the $50 on?
We got more at the shop.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so happy. Thank you, guys.
Congratulations, Samantha.
So happy to hear how happy you are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was really, really impressive. I am so impressed. I have to say I'm impressed and delighted because you were just brave all the way through that. No fear with your questions, your answers to the questions.
Well, I prayed really hard before, but seriously, you guys, Catholic Answers, and then a lot of the other shows on EWTN, but Catholic Answers, I have journals full of notes that I take when I listen.
Oh, cool.
That is so cool. Well, it came in handy today, Samantha. You are our first grand prize winner ever on the Catholic Answers Quiz Show.
Yay. We're getting people raising their arms in triumph in the engineering booth. Yeah.
You gave us a great Friday, Samantha. Enjoy your prizes and have a very blessed Advent.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
That was exciting.
Yeah. Really, really sweet.
It was awesome.
Both of our contestants, really
well.
Cool people today. Yeah. And did really well. It's... I don't think we've had any bad contestants so far.
Not on shows I've been on.
Nobody who's That's a pile of books though. Marie, are you going to mail all those books to her? Marie's not talking to me. Nick says yes.
Probably not going to teleport them. So
all right. So Teaching with Authority, it's out. How to cut through doctrinal confusion and understand what the church really says. I threw in some doctrinal questions today, so we got to talk about it.
You know, she could teleport them if she used the Kablam Man.
What is the Kablam Man? I don't know.
Oh, he's a guy who teleports your parcel to you from Kablam.
And in what universe does this happen?
Doctor Who.
Oh, in the Doctor Who universe. I'm glad to hear there's a place called Kablam.
Kerblam.
Oh, yeah. That's much better. That's much more realistic.
Yeah.
Kerblam than my Kablam. Or you could use the, what's it called? The Bifrost? No.
Bifrost Bridge? Uh-huh.
That's the one that
that connects the different realms in Norse mythology.
That was a real pleasure, Jimmy. Thanks very
much.
It's always fun when you do this hour with us.
Yeah.
And I am so tickled that Samantha
won. It's nice to not have to...
No sadness at all in that.
Yeah.
It was all happiness. Thanks for joining us on Catholic Answers Live. On Monday, we got two great guests for you. Father Paul Scalia will be here on Monday. And also on Monday, we'll... be another fantastic guest too. Oh, it's going to be Chris Stefanik. You don't have to run and look at the calendar, Darren. It's Chris Stefanik. Oh, I'm looking forward to Advent getting started Saturday night. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.